Shana Tova Tiketevu, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with our very special lady and lover of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey, and shalom aleichem to all. And yes, we do love the Word of God, and I know that you do too, or you wouldn't be listening right now. For without it, how could we ever truly know Him?
We couldn't.
Amen. We are continuing our study of Hebraic Roots 101, Rosh Hashanah's Feast of Trumpets.
That begins this year on 9/11.
It does, the same remembrance day of those awful attacks at the Twin Towers. It's been 25 years now.
Yeah, you know, you could say it was a wake-up call.
And when the rapture happens on a Rosh Hashanah, that will also be a wake-up call to those left behind and what it will take for the tribulation saints to be awakened. Let us now give thanks to the Lord for His appointments that really helps us to understand eschatology big time.
Oh Lord, our God, we humbly thank You for Your timely appointments. You are perfect in Your ways, full of wisdom, mercy, and love. Give the bride of Christ an even deeper presence of Your glory and divine protection during our times of testing. We lift up to You these recent prayer requests and salvation for our lost loved one as we push through the darkness, knowing victory lies ahead. Meanwhile, we'll continue in our quest, speaking truth to the lost as we anxiously await Your return. May tonight's study send a sweet aroma to Your throne and be a blessing to those listening. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen.
So, what's the news of the day?
Turkey. And it's not Thanksgiving.
LOL.
So, Israel had to strike certain areas in Syria because Turkey is trying to honestly take it over a little at a time by sending more weapons, artillery, supplies, as well as a defense system to certain loyal groups, as in the Mustafa Brigade. Now, they're more of a Marxist organization that have been rising up, and they've been chanting, death to Israel. Anyhow, President Erdogan of Turkey says it's to target the Kurdish militant groups along its border and is furious that Israel is bombing his bases in Syria and wants the UN's International Criminal Court, the ICC, to arrest Bibi. But Article 5 of NATO says, unless there is an actual Turkey military presence where lives are in immediate danger, which, by the way, no lives were killed, then Erdogan cannot expect any action from NATO or the UN.
So Israel will continue till Turkey ceases.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they will, because everyone knows Erdogan wants to restore the Ottoman Empire. He already has zones in Syria's north and is now trying to move southward. Erdogan also helped put in his man, al-Jalani, who ousted Assad. Therefore, Erdogan figures Jalani owes him.
Well, he does act as Erdogan's puppet,
who conveyed that Jalani must have no relations with Israel whatsoever, even though when Jalani first took over, he told Trump and Israel, there would be peace between them. However, even Jalani's own soldiers are now also yelling in the streets, Jews, we are coming for you.
So, recently, Jalani went to Saudi Arabia to seek advice on stabilizing Syria.
Yes, right after the Mecca Accords were signed. And remember, that was between Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and Pakistan. And now Erdogan is campaigning to Israel's left that if Bibi is gone, then they could have good relations.
Which is not true.
Mm-mm. Meanwhile, Israel is still taking out terrorists in Lebanon and also in Gaza, while the Houthis from Yemen still shoot missiles at Saudi Arabia, who respond quickly and fiercely.
All right, changing gears. Last week, there was a powerful earthquake of 7.2 in Cusco in Peru.
Right, and we're mentioning that because it occurred just a few days after they held their ritual sacrificial offering to the earth idol Pachamama in the Peruvian mountains of, guess where?
Cusco.
That's right. It was mostly attended by homosexual groups displaying LGBTQ and transgender banners, along with local Catholic bishops, and I'm sorry to say, a Vatican official. Of course, the first question that comes to our mind is, why has the Vatican involved itself with this pagan event? Everyone knows that Pachamama is the pagan demonic goddess worshipped by many Peruvians. So why a Vatican official?
Maybe to usher in Pope Leo's visit this November.
I don't know. Anyway, bottom line, many would say they see the timely hand of divine justice in the Peru quake. Because anywhere you slice it, the Lord isn't happy, by the way, with any pope sending his Vatican official, which they have to attend the Pachamama sacrificial offering.
A shepherd should be converting the Peruvian people to the faith.
For sure, instead of showing compromising support for their sorcerous idolatry. Just doesn't look good. Then again, this is part of the one world religion, that woman who rides the beast. And something else that doesn't look good is that Pope Leo just appointed a Masonic history professor of the Scottish Rite to the Vatican's Pontifical Committee.
Which adds more to the pagan connection.
Freemason membership to any Catholic organization was once a sin of the gravest kind.
Why is that?
According to Albert Pike, the higher Masons secretly worship Lucifer. Now, if this isn't true, why was it banned in the early Catholic Church?
By the way, Netanyahu is not a Mason.
Right. His name, along with other prominent figures, were added to a fake list years ago to give Masonry a good look. Now, George Washington was a Freemason, but only of the third degree, before it eventually became corrupted by the Jesuit-trained Adam Weishaupt,
who earlier created the Illuminati.
Correct. Now, the higher-ranked Jesuits are also bad dudes, as was Pope Francis.
Okay, you can send your end-time questions by email to sheila@shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are really needed and greatly appreciated, which will add you to our mailing list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
And be sure to include your serious prayer needs, as they are individually prayed for every night. All right, last week we began our yearly studies on the next physically unfulfilled appointments made by God in Leviticus 23, beginning with Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of the Blowing of Trumpets, in their first month on their first civil calendar named Tishrei.
Explain why they named it Tishrei.
Okay. In Genesis, the first words read in the beginning. Now, in Hebrew, it's Bereshit. God created the heavens and the earth. And the word for beginning is Ereshit. But when seeing the letters from right to left, as in an anagram, it spells Tishrei. So either way, it means beginning. Therefore, they named the beginning of months Tishrei.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
And very clever. Mm-hmm. And what else is very clever is how they gave so many different idioms to describe particular feasts, and Rosh Hashanah has several, as we studied last week.
And there's more this week.
Mm-hmm. We particularly looked at the most often title referring to Rosh Hashanah, and that's, of course, the Feast of Trumpets, for the obvious reason of blowing 100 trumpet blasts, with the final blast ushering in the new year. And some year, it will certainly usher in a new year for all born-again believers.
Hallelujah.
By the way, did you know hallelujah is actually a Hebrew word?
Right. It's not an English word. It actually means praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
As you all know, Jesus has literally kept the first four appointments God made with man, and there are three left, plus the Sabbath, which is the type of the millennial kingdom.
Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost.
Which took us into the current church age, which lasts for 2 days, Hosea 6:2, or approximately 2,000 years, depending on whose calendar you're looking at.
Well, you know, only God's calendar is correct.
And he is the only one privy to it.
But we all know we are very, very close.
I agree. Okay, let's quickly tell the listeners what titles we covered last week. And by the way, last week's study is archived on shofarministries.net. So we looked at
Chief of the Year, Yom Terah, the Coronation, Arise, Open the Gates.
And we left off with Rosh Hashanah also being called the Day of Remembrance, as we read in Malachi 3:16.
Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name.
So this book will be opened on Rosh Hashanah in heaven for our rewards, which contains all our good deeds done for the Lord and also spoke his name to others.
So, in a way, Rosh Hashanah is also a day of judgment.
Not only for those left behind, but on the reverse side, according to 1 Corinthians 3, for our rewards that we receive in heaven listed in the Book of Remembrance, and it's called the Bema Seat Judgment. And there are more very meaningful idioms or familiar titles, as in
no one knows the day or the hour.
Okay, now this is a good one and an important one for sure, because Rosh Hashanah lasts for 2 days. Therefore, we don't know which day and certainly not the hour. For that is a literal day or hour phrase that we have a great example of just how literal it is in Mark 13. So let's read what Jesus says in verses 32 through 35 in context, which is very important here. And by the way, few ever do, especially when quoting Jesus on this topic. So please read verse 32.
But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father.
And by the way, before you go on, let's clarify that the Son didn't know what exact hour while he was on earth. But he does know now that he's back with his Father. Continue in verse 33.
Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is.
Okay. The Greek word for time here is kairos, meaning an opportune moment, as in we don't know the exact set time. So now, to stay in context, Jesus is about to give an example of what he just said in his next words, verse 34.
It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. 35, watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming.
Now, saints, here should ignite the light bulb.
In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning.
We see here that Jesus is being literally specific, that it is within a 24-hour period. And since Rosh Hashanah lasts for 2 days, that's within 48 hours. So we don't know for sure which day either. So in other words, when someone says, oh, we can't know the day or the hour, that really means the exact time. Please embrace that so you can explain it to someone when they question your knowledge. be ready, saints, to respond. As well, they knew this phrase referred to some Rosh Hashanah by Jesus because he said those words. They knew it's an idiom for Rosh Hashanah.
Many lose out not knowing our roots.
Big time. Another great example was Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. He knew, they knew, what he meant when he said we'd all be changed at the last trump. Because the last trump is well known as an idiom for Rosh Hashanah, or Feast of Trumpets.
Well, another expression is for Rosh Hashanah is the hidden day.
Because it's the only feast that is ushered in on a new moon that is barely visible the first night, which is why it lasts for 2 days to be sure they saw it.
The rapture will be on a new moon.
I believe it. A new moon and a new year and a new month, because every month on the Hebrew calendar is ushered in with a new moon. Rosh Hashanah on the Essene calendar is 4 days later this year, still considered a new moon to the eyes. And they would also cook a festive meal on this day, as confirmed in 1 Samuel 20. And by the way, remember, there was a strict Jewish rule that only on a Sabbath or a new moon could anyone see the king or a man of God. And this is confirmed in 2 Kings 4:23.
Another huge hint we're leaving on a new moon.
That's right. And Rosh Hashanah is a high Sabbath as well. And this year actually does fall also on a Saturday Sabbath.
Ah, so kind of a double whammy.
LOL. Now, if you are able, and we're going to get a little deeper here, turn to Psalm 81. We're going to read the first three verses as we need to clarify a few words. Verse 1.
Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful noise to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute.
Okay, these words are all correct and points to a time of celebration. But in verse 3, we have a problem, which says,
blow the trumpet.
Well, that is a shofar.
At the time of the new moon, at the full moon, on our solemn feast day.
Okay. Did you notice that? Yep. How can there be a new moon on a full moon? Now, if it said, and on a full moon, that would be okay, except the Hebrew letter for and is a vav. And I looked closely in the interlinear, and it's not there. The correct English word instead of full moon should be concealed moon.
Well, now that makes sense.
As well, the word solemn is not in the original either.
Because the solemn feast only refers to Yom Kippur.
That's right. So, unfortunately, that was added in the King James Version and others. And another point, the English number that's written over the Hebrew word in the interlinear has the wrong number. It should be 3680. Why? Because there is the Hebrew letter hey on the left end, which changes the meaning from full to concealed. You know, a Messianic Jewish mentor of ours many years ago pointed that out to me. So here's how it should read. And by the way, you should write this down in your Bible.
Blow the shofar at the time of the new moon, the concealed moon on our feast day.
Again, that would be Rosh Hashanah, because it's the only feast that begins with a new moon. And at first is concealed, which is why, as we said earlier, it took on another idiom called
the hidden day.
Mm-hmm. As we said, the beginning of the month is determined by the first visible sighting, and the shofar is blown in one long blast. Numbers 10:10 states that silver trumpets should also be blown on all new moons to sanctify the day and the offerings. However, on the new moon of Rosh Hashanah, 100 shofars were blown to differentiate that it was also the new year.
Then, at the last trumpet sound, they would celebrate the new year.
That's right. And when any new month is announced, the people would also have fellowship and a blessing is said. The traditional greeting of peace are given to one another, saying, Shalom Aleichem, meaning peace be with you. The response is, Aleichem Shalom.
Upon you, peace.
Yes. I remember as a Catholic saying that during Mass as well.
But not in Hebrew.
No. Anyway, each new month was a time of fresh dedication to Yahweh and of blessing Him while seeking His direction for the days ahead.
And we also look at Rosh Hashanah as the wedding of the Messiah.
Oh, yes, a messianic title. By the way, Jesus uses wedding terminology often, and it was the Father that decided when the groom should go get his bride, when the Hadar, which is Hebrew for the wedding chamber, as in Isaiah 26:20, was ready for his specifications. The bride didn't know for sure when that would be, but she did have many clues from the groom's close friends when it was getting close.
And our clues are increasing every day.
Yes, as in 1 Thessalonians 5:3 when they say peace and safety, which will also kickstart the Daniel 9 treaty. And by the way, we have the same close friends, just as Jesus did. Remember the two who showed up at the Transfiguration in Matthew 17:3?
Moses and Elijah.
Yes, our friends too, because Moses penned the Torah, and Elijah is known as the prophet over all the prophets, who penned many scriptures telling us how it will be and what signs to look for. And every year, we see even more clearly, because God is revealing much more to His last generation. We are special. After all, Hebrews 10:25 does say that we will see the day approaching.
He did say that, and we do.
And we're going to continue this next week again, beginning with the typology of the Jewish wedding. And lastly, know that there is a supreme and diverse God who sent His only Son to anyone who wants eternal life along with Him. I tell you with an honest heart that time is running out. So right now, give your heart and life to the Lord. Don't wait. Admit you are a sinner and invite Him in. If you really mean it, then you are sealed and set apart for His coming kingdom. And by the way, if you think you'll just wait till you can stop being a sinner, well, that's stinking thinking. I still sin, but I'm saved by grace. So attain your salvation and then let God do the changing, because in and of ourselves we are nothing and will always fail, and quickly. Then get into His Word and He will supernaturally grow in you and change you from the inside out. It truly is a miracle. And it can be your miracle. Just do it. He's waiting. He's on the door of your heart knocking. And I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:22. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. That perfect shalom. So till next time, I'm going to wish you shalom and sha'alum, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, you're going to prosper in ways that you don't even realize. That's Psalm 122, verse 6, which I hope you all have memorized. So till next time, tell someone about Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.